Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. We just want to be sensitive to the Spirit here. The Lord has something.
Well, it has been a word troubling me for a few days. And it is a word that I really don't like it, but it has troubled me, even though I like it or not. And I have tried to push it away, but it always come back and again and again. And because it comes again and again, I start to really look into it and really see what this was about, and asking and praying for the wisdom and understanding and a counsel from God into this. And it is about the separation that is coming. It is about the separation that is coming everywhere. And it is a process that is already starting to see in the spirit. It is a separation between the lamb and the goats. And it is a separation that takes place before the throne of God. And it has been troubling me quite much. So I've been praying much about this and looking into this. But I think it is a word that we need to recognize our place. And like Madeleine said, that I think this word is about that we have to recognize our place before the throne of God to make sure that we are in that place that we should be. Jesus is the Lamb, and all those who follow him is of the same kind. And when they stand on the Mount Zion with him, all this 144,000 that is standing with him on the Mount Zion, they are also sheep like him, because they are in the same nature, in the same kind as he is. So this is a word that really have been troubling me in my spirit and in my soul. So so I really pray that God give us discernment these days. Give us a quite good instruction and discernment to come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What did Jesus say? Think not that I came to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Amen. And the sword will separate. The sword will cut down through the loyalties that we have, even the family loyalties, the loyalties to our friends, to our acquaintances. Think not that I came to bring peace, but I came to bring the sword. And I think that's what Brother Daniel is talking about here today. Amen. Well, brethren, we are going to see that sword and I think if we go to the word, we'll see how it applies to what we're talking about here today. If we go to the 13th chapter of Revelation, And we're looking at a different beast here today. Let me read a few verses. It's the beast out of the earth. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." We can take these verses here and look at what is the Lord saying. This coming out of the earth, two horns, amen. Very interested he exercised all the power of the first beast, amen, before him, and caused the earth and then that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So one of the key words here is this beast is involved in worship. This beast wants worship. This beast is directing worship to the first beast, but it itself is a system of worship. So what we have here is the rising of the one world church, the rising of the one world religion, whatever term you want to give it, one world worship. All worship is to be directed by this spirit, focused, directed. All thinking, all mindset, reset. Reset everybody's thinking so that they're all in agreement with this mode of thinking. I'm thinking of the word earth. Say, Brother Mark, how can you say, because it says earth, how can you say it's religion? Well, it's carnality, and it's carnality of worship. Let me take you over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul is writing here. And I think we need to take the lesson that Paul is showing here. He's talking about the resurrection of the dead. Start in verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." Brethren, we don't often think about our natural body as corruption. But I tell you, the longer you live in this body, the more you see the corruption of it, the more you see and understand that it's not going to last forever. It seems to have a built-in clock of deterioration, corruption, amen? It says, "It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." See, there's our hope in this, brethren, amen? And this is the hope, by the way, knowing this, is the way you're going to be able to resist the pressure and the force and the mandate of bringing the world into this one world mode of thinking as far as what they worship, what they love, what they give themselves to. Amen. It says, "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Brethren, we do not yet see our spiritual body, but we have the word of God that there is a spiritual body, amen? But we have to put off this natural body in order to have the fullness of the glory of this spiritual, amen? So it says, "And it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit." So Adam had to receive the life. God breathed into him the spirit of life. He breathed his spirit into Adam. And it wasn't just natural breath that God put into Adam. It was the life of the spirit, that no other creature had this thing of the spirit that was capable of communion with God. So Jesus then is a life of the spirit giving Adam, amen, the second Adam, amen. Now, howbeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which was natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So the natural comes first, brethren. This is why we see the natural tabernacle in the wilderness, built and constructed in such a perfect form, with every exact dimension and every exact color and material and everything else, because it is a precise picture of something that is spiritual. It is the spiritual house of God, brethren. And this is why God said to Moses, see that you build it exactly as I've told you. This is why all these laws that we don't yet even fully understand, because it's a spiritual picture that God is beginning to show us. But he had to begin in the natural, amen? And afterward, that which is spiritual. So we have the privilege today, brethren, of living in a time of the opening of the spiritual mysteries to us. The word of God says that these prophets, even those that prophesied and gave this word, they still did not fully understand what they were saying. But we have that privilege now today. Jesus told his disciples, you're privileged to hear things that they desired to hear, and it wasn't for their time. Amen. Now, the first man is of the earth. Now, here we're going to come to this term earthy. Where did we get the idea that earth is carnal? Okay. The first man is of the earth, earthy. He's made out of dust. He's made out of the soil underneath our feet. He's made out of chemicals that make up the soil. You know, the calcium and the phosphorus and the potassium and all these chemicals that make up the chemistry, the hormones of our body. It's all simply natural ingredients. Amen. So ingredients that you could break down into a chemistry laboratory, put them in a what's that thing that they use? A mass spectrometer. And identify all the chemistry in that. It's still earth. It's earthy. Amen. So, as is the earthy, amen, such are they also that are earthy. They are earthy. In other words, if your orientation is to the natural things that you hope to acquire in this earth, the natural things that you expect to the pleasures, the natural pleasures that please the natural man. If this is what you live for, amen, you're an earthy man, amen. If, in other words, do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Amen. Well, I eat to live. If my orientation were for the natural thing, I would be seeking after every gourmet and every new dish and every restaurant, and that's just food. I mean, there's other ways. There's alcohol, there's drugs, there's sex, there's hundreds of things that men do to please their eyes, please whatever. Amen. So it's earthy. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are also they that are heavenly. So heavenly means spiritual. Earthy means carnal. Amen. And we could go to Romans chapter 8. The carnal man cannot please God. Amen. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood and chemistry, amen, flesh and blood and dust and soil and chemistry, that my natural body that you can see, this is what you see when you look at me, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It is that hidden man inside of me, amen. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Hallelujah. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and that's trumpet, by the way. That's not Mr. Trump. Amen. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. Now, go back here to the beginning of this. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. So he looked very innocent. This beast looks very innocent. The carnal man would find this religion very comforting. The word that he would get from this would assure him that as long as he follows the mandates, that his soul will be fine, that he will be granted all the privileges of life, that he will have all the rights to the economic activity that is going on in this system. And the priests and those that oversee this thing, yes, they will say peace and safety in this. However, interesting thing, it says that he has two horns like a lamb. Now, we know the definition of horns from these beasts is the horns are men. We don't see heads. In other words, this thing is not a thing divided into different nations. This is one universal thing, one head, two horns. So there are two individuals, two human beings, two leaders, men, who are going to be in charge of this thing. Now, who might they be? We can speculate, and I'm going to say that I'm going to be pretty sure about who one of them is, okay? The very best candidate for this beast, the horn, is the Roman Catholic pontiff, the pope, the papa, whatever his title is. He openly desires to, it's their doctrine that he's to be the head of all the world religion. It was interesting. I don't know if any of you remember the Time magazine put the Pope right on the front cover. And what was the words on the front page? Does anybody remember how that was said? Something like the kingdom of something, the world kingdom of the Pope, or something like that. You don't remember that, do you? I saved it somewhere, and it's hidden away in one of my many boxes where I hide these treasures. But I thought they're very open in saying this. Yes, he has a dominion that he believes he is entitled to. And we can speculate, who would this other horn be? Well, in our thinking at this point in time, we would say, what is the other side of Christianity? Actually, can we really call Roman Catholicism Christianity? I can take you through all their beliefs and go down the list one after another and show you that the main components of this religion have absolutely nothing to do with the New Testament church. It started off that way. But men began to take this thing in a completely different direction. And some of them were good men. Some of them were men who were very concerned about some of the doctrines that were coming into the church. And so their cure of this thing to keep it from going astray, let me see, I don't have the Polycarp was one, who was the other fellow? But anyway, what they espoused was a what was called a monarchical bishop system, okay, that began to take over and rule as a king over the whole empire. Now, we can say, well, this church kind of split. I can think of a number of deadly wounds that have come to this empire. I'm going to call it the Holy Roman Empire. And let's look at verse 12 here for a minute. It says, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Well, there's a deadly wound here too, okay, in this church system. The Holy Roman Empire, looking at the natural side of this thing, and also the church empire. The Protestant Reformation gave this thing a deadly wound, and it separated it. It brought part of the people over onto the side called Protestants, and on the other side, those who would remain Roman Catholics. Deadly wound. Well, that deadly wound also ended up dividing what was called the Holy Roman Empire. Now, if maybe you don't understand how this Holy Roman Empire operated. There were kings and there were emperors. And somehow, I don't know how they did it, but somehow out of all these European countries, this is mostly European country, out of these European countries, from different places, an emperor would be chosen. But the emperors and the kings and the princes, especially in Germany, the princes. Germany was not a completely united country at that time, even though there might have been an emperor somewhere in Germany. But the princes all had to be in cooperation, and the Pope had a way of ruling over this whole system. Let's take the King of Spain, for instance, or the King of France. Even these kings were assigned to a priest, or shall we say a bishop, usually a bishop of some sort, that was their quote-unquote confessor. And these kings had to come to this confession of this bishop and had to reveal all his thoughts and all his sins and all this. And it's in this manner, they had control over the man. In other words, they could blackmail him. They knew everything about him. They knew all the secrets. Likewise, they knew all the secrets of all the men. And they would tell this king what he had to do to absolve himself of his blame and his sin. And I know very clearly from reading the history, this St. Valentine's Massacre. How many of you heard of that St. Valentine's Massacre? I'm going to give a date of somewhere in the 1600s. It was one of the last horrible massacres that they were able to carry out. And it was, I believe, it was either Spain or France. I think it was France that carried this thing out. Went into Switzerland, went into the, what were the people there? The Christian people. My goodness. It was among the Swiss, the people that were hiding out in Switzerland. No, they weren't Quakers. It doesn't matter. You can look it up. Went in there. The king was told that he would absolve all his sins if he would go there and totally wipe out this group of so-called rebels that were not coming under submission to Roman Catholicism. And he did. He sent his troops in there under the guise of friendship, and they just slaughtered tens, hundreds of people, innocent, God-fearing people, blood upon their hands. Well, okay, I'm just telling you, this is the means that they had control over these kings. And so the kings were not really as sovereign as one would say that they were. They had to toe the mark in obedience to the bishops and all that were running the show from behind the scenes. And by the way, the persecution of the saints, all the persecution of the saints, came from the city of religion. Even in Switzerland, it was not necessary. It was, you see, the Calvinists somehow got out of the hold of Roman Catholicism because of what Martin Luther started. They got out of the hold, but they would not give the same liberty to the Anabaptists. And they persecuted them, sorely, sorely persecuted them. It was going on in Germany. It was going on in Netherlands. It was going on in Spain, in France, to some extent in England. But England had tempered it quite a bit because of the schism that Henry VIII had with the Pope over his carnal, by the way, it wasn't a spiritual thing that caused him to do it. It was his carnal want to have divorce one wife and go to another one. So this is the beast that we're talking about, okay? Just giving you a little look at him. Now, it says he had two horns. What would that other horn be? Well, one, and by the way, we don't know what that second horn is. There are many people that believe that the other side of this thing would be a great man in the Protestant circles. Some would say, well, yes, he has to be it says, and he doeth great wonders, amen, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So it would have to be somebody who believes in miracles and signs and this type of thing, which kind of takes you to the charismatic and the Pentecostal or the full gospel side of the fence. But we know that this union has already taken place. It is no secret. And by the way, this would be one of the stars that have fallen. You know, it is a falling star that actually opened up the abyss. And maybe we'll look at the beast from the abyss next time. So a star is someone who was great in a great one, a great man in God's kingdom, in the church, shall we say, the true church. But he fell. Now, we know very clearly, we've seen video evidence of it. Kenneth Copeland getting down among the whoever his coaching bishop is, giving himself over already to be partners with the Pope. Most of these big names in Christianity, you name the big men of 20 years ago, they'd all been to the Pope. Every one of them, as far as I know, had been there and have submitted, bowed the knee, kissed the ring, kiss the foot, whatever they have to kiss. But they have submitted themselves to that spirit. Amen? All right, so it could be a big man there. But now let me ask you another question. If we're going to have one world religion, what are we going to do with some of these other religions? What are we going to do with the Hindus? What are we going to do with with Islam? By the way, do you know that the Roman Catholic Church started the whole system of Islam? Did you know that? But it backfired. They started it because they thought that they could use this thing to get Jerusalem back. This is back during the latter time of the Crusades. Their warring crusades with their swords and what have you didn't turn out too successful. They were not really able to lay complete hold on old Jerusalem. So what was that woman's name? I keep thinking of something like Meterana or something like that. Anyway, they got her in the camp of Muhammad. And they thought that they really had the thing going. They thought that they could really, really create something that would be loyal to the Roman Catholic Church. But what happened is the thing backfired and they lost it. However, the Pope still goes to these places, to these heavily Islamic places, and he still expects an audience, and he still gives his speech, and he still lays claim that he's the father of these things. Recently, he was over in, not recently, but a couple years ago, he was over in India, and he was hobnobbing with the, I think it was the Hindus, or what's the other major religion there in India? The Hindus, what? The Buddhists, yeah. He still lays claim that he's the father and that he's the papa and that they look to him as their leader, whether they do or not. So maybe this second horn is something to do with Islam. Do you know that Islam has a belief, let me look it up here. They're looking for their coming Messiah too. Did you know that? He's called the Grand Mustafa, the Grand Mustafa, the chosen one. They're looking for him. They're looking for his coming. Could this account for the sudden revival of beheading all these infidels that we're hearing today? What's going to happen to the people that do not submit to this New World Order religion? It's going to be the sword. Brethren, amen. And in Revelation 6:8, look at this verse. Revelation 6:8. This is the 6:8. This is the fourth seal. Amen. Verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power or authority was given him unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now this sword here is a saber, a long, broad cutlass, the kind that the ancient Persians used for beheading. This is not the same sword that you find up here in verse 4 on the second seal. And this is the red horse. It says, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they shall kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. That's not the same meaning. That sword means it's given him the sword of war. This one down here, the sword of execution by beheading, is what that means. Amen? Okay, so getting back to this worship, this deadly worship, the one that had the deadly wound. I'll read verse 12 again. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth. There it is again, earth. Caused the earth. Now, if this word means soil and the natural ground, it can't mean that. The ground where I plant my vegetables, that is incapable of worshiping anything. It's the carnal realm of mankind. And by the way, carnality includes those who say they are followers of Christ. but they're a carnal man. Paul makes a very clear difference. The carnal man cannot please God. Hallelujah. And cause them that dwell on the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. What would you say would convince people that this is something genuine? This guy has really got the power. You know, I mean, he can pull fire down from heaven. Do you believe that Christianity, do you believe the people that go to our churches today and are calling on the name of Jesus, do you believe that these people would be caught up in this kind of a thing and say, well, that must be the real thing. This must be the real prophet that we're looking for. By the way, this second horn could be the great false prophet, because we know one of them is called the false prophet. So it could be the Pope, and it could be someone rising up as a false prophet that has a message that's going to appeal to no matter what your religion is. And by the way, I don't think anybody's going to come and make a choice and say, well, I don't choose. I'm not going to believe anything. You're going to believe something, and you're going to accept the mark of that thing, or you're not going to participate in the world's economy. You're not going to buy or sell. So you're not going to stand on the sidelines and say, well, I don't know. I'll make up my mind sometime. No, you're going to do it. You'll be forced. You see, this is what all this mandating, I think, is all about that we've been through here lately. The world is testing how much can they get away with these mandates. I just read recently this week that I think it was Spain. Oh, Spain was hit awful hard, much harder than we were hit. They were told during the beginning of this COVID thing, they were locked inside their homes for something like 3 months. They couldn't even go outside and walk and exercise. Well, now they're beginning to back off on all this and say, well, okay, we're going to let it be what will be. But nevertheless, they found out that they could enforce it. They found out that they had enough authority that people would submit to it. Okay, so what do we call worship then? What is our definition of worship? Let me go back a little while again. And maybe we're talking mostly about the not so much the Baptist or the Calvinist type of or the old denominational system, but the Pentecostal type side of this thing, the charismatic renewal, whatever term you want to give it. When there came a man, and I remember this man in Florida, he came on the scene, and what he was doing, he was involved in these Kansas City prophet group. He was all involved in that. They have an organization. I don't know if it's an organization that they've actually put into terms, but it was a network. They call it the Kansas City Prophets. And they ordained this fella, Todd Bentley. That was his name, Todd Bentley. Well, down in Florida, they set up a tent. And he got up in this tent, and he began to perform, quote unquote, miracles. Well, he wasn't calling fire from heaven. What he was doing is people were all lining up, and he would lay hands on them, and they would all fall over. Everybody fall over. And I remember, you can find this in the internet if it's still there. He would come up to them, put his hand on them, and he'd say, bam, bam, bam. Well, what kind of spiritual language is this? Bam, bam. You know, well, I know that even in our region, in the greater capital district, I know that there were churches, people that I knew, people that we had, that Brother Campbell had been in their midst and preached the gospel to them, men that I had fellowship with. And I talked to this pastor. And all he said, this is it. This is the power. This is the man. This is the sign of the end time. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, we are getting a bus load together. We are going to drive down to Florida. We want to be a partaker of this power that this man has. Well, as far as I know, he did. But you know what? The man didn't last more than a couple of weeks. In fact, Rita and I were in Ireland, South Ireland. Yes, real Ireland, not Northern Ireland. The nation of Ireland, I should say. We were in Ireland staying with some Christian brethren, and they said, oh, have you heard about this? It's on the God Channel. Well, I never heard of the God Channel. Well, they opened up the God Channel to us, and they showed us this man going down, knocking people over. And they said, well, what do you think of it? I said, I don't know. We're going to have to ask the Lord and seek with the Lord. What is this all about? And I found the most demonic things involved in this fellow. He had horrible tattoos that he put on his neck, demonic tattoos. He put on after he became a believer, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, so-called. He had a spirit guide that was a female, and that was unpopular. So his handlers, they had to change the name of this spirit guide to a masculine name, because the woman's spirit guide wasn't going over too good. Well, what happened? He lasted only a couple of weeks. Thing blew up. He left his wife, ran off with his secretary. That was the end of it. But you know what? There's a hunger in people. There is still a hunger. They want to see a great prophet. There are people that are looking for it. There are Muslims that are looking for their great Mufasta. And somehow I believe that whatever this beast is rising from the earth, it's going to be the answer to all men. It's going to have something that all men will worship. If this fellow in Florida had continued without running off with his secretary and still knocking people, but by the way, we went to Poland many years ago when this knocking down started. I don't know, it was Benny Hinn or somebody. This knocking down started. We went to a little fellowship that was hidden away, that was out of the networks, you know. And they weren't doing anything right, but they had a good heart. And they said to us, Brother Mark, we had to talk through an interpreter. Brother Mark, we see this people knocking people down on American television. Show us how you find this in the Word of God. And I had to say to these brethren, I said, brethren, I have to apologize to you almost that I have come from America. I can give no excuse for what some of these preachers are doing in America. We found the influence of that thing all the way over in Romania, in Hungary. We found that false spirit was leading people astray. And yet there was a hunger for people for this manifestation of signs and wonders. People are longing for it. And Brother Daniel said, the sword, the knife, the separation is coming down. You're going to be separated into one camp or the other. You're either going to be deceived by this stuff, or you're going to have the genuine, real thing. Now, I don't know that Jesus is promising to call fire from heaven just to convince us who are sons of God that he's the real thing. But he's going to give you answers to prayer. He's going to show you the genuine, real thing. Amen? And it says he doeth wonders. Amen? So people are looking for wonders. Yes, people are. You know, people from some of even the most stoical churches that you can believe. You believe that, Howard? These people, yes, they're going to buy it too. Listen, they've bought the other stuff. They've bought the wind of doctrine that brought us into the tolerance of the sexual perversion thing. They bought that. I would have never thought they could buy that, but they're buying it. It's part of their doctrine in their colleges, their seminaries. It's believed and taught there. Yes, they're going to buy it. They're going to fall, brethren, if they don't get the true, pure word of God. Amen. And verse 4, and he deceived them that dwell where? On earth. It doesn't say he deceived them that dwell in heavenly places. He's deceiving them that dwell in the carnal world of religion. This is the city of religion, the great harlot. The city of religion, amen? By means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. In other words, these things are working in concert together. The government thing is working in concert with the religion thing. And hell followed death from that sword. Hell consumes those that sword is going to kill. Hallelujah. Amen. And them that dwell on earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did that. Rita, I'm going to ask you to come over here for a minute and help me out. We saw something New Year's Eve. New Year's came to the London 5 hours before it came to New York. And Rita went on the internet and she said, I want to see what people are doing in some of these places where the New Year has already come. And she got the one on London, and it was the most amazing thing. And she found it just yesterday. It was something that was going, fireworks going on in the sky, and the things were shooting off into the air in the darkness. But there was a thing, and when we played it time and time, and we could see it, something that rushed across I believe it was the London Bridge, rushed across the bridge and swooped up into the sky, and there was a face. And the face began to move, and the face began to act like, Rita, describe it to him.
I can't describe it. It was a face of a lion?
Yes.
And, you know, you could see the fangs and everything, and it was multicolored. And I don't know if it was a fireworks that did it, or if it was a light show or some sort of, virtual reality with laser. I don't know. All I know it stayed there, and its head started nodding. You know, it just kind of moved like that.
And its face, it turned a little bit from side to side. This face.
It was a live stream for the different places over the world that rang in the New Year, and it happened to be London where they had that.
It almost looked like a human face. And yet it had the mouth of a lion. Am I right, Rita? It had eyes that you could see?
Yeah, but a lion has eyes.
Yeah.
It was a face of a lion.
Yeah.
With fangs and the whole jaw open, ready to devour.
So I want to look at Revelation mostly in a spiritual aspect, but I have to look at the natural thing here too. I'm saying, how can this be? It says that had the power to do in the sight of the beast, okay? Saying that them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, what is this image going to look like? How are they going to make it? All right. And it says that he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Well, this image of the beast that we saw on New Year's Day, the beast acted like it had life. It moved. Now, maybe there's something even greater than this thing. I don't know how they did it. All right, so I'm looking at the natural side of here, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So maybe what Rita saw was just kind of a cheap imitation of the big thing that is coming, something greater than that. Okay? I don't know. Now, let's take a spiritual look at this thing. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. What is the beast? What is the beast? We've been defining this beast for several weeks now. The beast is Satan's system. And insofar as the beast of the city of religion, it's false religion. My definition of the giving life to the beast would be giving life to Roman Catholicism, the harlot, and all of her subsystems that are united with her, all her daughters. How would you give life to that beast? Well, I want to go back a few years. I remember when this charismatic renewal thing was coming along, and there were a lot of people that were Roman Catholics that were getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure people like Sissy and Daniel, you can remember these days. And we had the opportunity of having some interaction with some of these people. And I remember having some really good talks with some of the people. I think it was back in the days when I was still living up in North Creek. And they were coming into things that were totally alien to what their priests and all didn't like what was happening, really. But God was giving them life by the Spirit. And I remember saying to some of these people, well, if you have so much life and there is so much death back in that old system, why do you stay with it? Why don't you get out of it? And you know, I was surprised at the answer they gave me. They said, well, we're the only thing that has life there. If we pull out, they're all going to die. And it wasn't just the Catholic Church. It was some of these other churches too. If we pull out, in other words, the Spirit had left, and they didn't even know the Spirit had left. Who was it that the Spirit had left? Was it Saul, I believe? And he knew not that the Spirit had left him. So Eli. Eli the priest as well, yes. He didn't know the Spirit had left already. And I remember hearing a preacher a long time ago. He said, he's talking about many, many churches. He's talking about Protestant churches. And he said, you know, the Holy Spirit could leave these churches and they would never know the difference. They would never know. The Spirit has no influence whatsoever in what they're doing every Sunday. They would carry on their same ritual. They would grind out their same songs. They would grind out their same sermons. They would grind out their same activities. You fill up their week with women's church and children's church and men's meetings and everything else. They would grind it out just like old Samson grinding out the corn, and he's blind as a bat. He didn't know what he was doing because he'd lost his eyes. So perhaps that's what's going on now. But people are going to want to see something. Give life to the beast. And I remember Clayt Sunmore, he made a statement of something else that had happened. He was part of that Full Gospel Christian Businessmen. And they did something. I don't remember what it was, but he loudly proclaimed. He said, "You people are giving life to the beast. You are sustaining the beast with life that it should be dead. It should have the deadly wound, and you're reviving that wound with the life that you're giving to it." Amen. Well, that's so much for the deadly wound. I want to look at a couple of other things here while we have a minute. Deception, we know it's deception. Let's look at, come down a little bit. "And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond." Amen. Everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a king or a governor or president or what you are, "to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads." Now, we can look to the natural here, or we can look to the spiritual. Let's start with the natural. It is very possible that a natural mark could be put in the hand or in the forehead. It could be a chip. However, I do not believe that there's going to be a tattoo put on anyone. I don't believe that somebody is going to put a UPC tattoo on my wrist or my forehead. I don't believe it. What I really believe is the spiritual side of this thing is that you're going to buy this system. What is this? This is my mind. You're going to believe it. You're going to be convinced that this is the answer to the world, that this is the, you're going to buy the reset. In other words, your mind is going to be reset, and your works, your hands, what you do about it is going to be in total agreement. It'll be your hand and it'll be your mind. And you bought it. All right. So those who have not bought it, let's see. Amen. "And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, what surprises me the most is that this verse is under the heading of the beast out of the earth. That is what shocks me. I would have expected this to be under the world government. That the beast of the world government, the one with a 7 heads and 10 horns, that this would be where the mandate to have this mark in order to participate in the economic system. But here it is in the religious beast. Now, I know that the religious beast is enforcing the mandates of the government beast, and of course, the economic system is the third part of this triune beast here. You look in Revelation chapter 17, and we're going to get to that sometime, the woman riding the beast. Very clearly, all three aspects, the economy, the governance, and religion. You say, well, why does religion have to be a part of it? Because Satan loves religion. He loves worship, not the true worship, not the worship of God in spirit and in truth, but he loves to have himself worshiped. And what is this mark? Now, the mark is something different. This mark is different than the seal. They're not the same thing. Not the same thing, brethren. Look what it says about this thing. "That no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man." The number of man is 6. Man was made on the 6th day. 6, man. Man is always incomplete. Man can never pull it off in his own effort to the fullness. 7 is the number of completion, fullness. 7. But man is 6. Now, when man gets his number 3 times, 3 is also the fullness of man. And it's the best. the best that man can come up with. Brethren, we are coming into electronic and gizmo things that our ancestors would just shake their head in amazement. How can this possibly be? The kinds of things that they're putting into your phone now, that they're going to, I don't know, maybe some of this mark is going to be in your phone that you're going to carry in your hand. Maybe this is the meaning of it. But passports, the ability to come in and enter and get into certain places and be kept out of certain places, it could be carried on your phone. You know, back when I was flying, I always printed a paper ticket. I like paper, you know, I could hold it in my hand. But half the people that were getting on that airplane, especially the people that were getting on first, in the first class and in the better classes, they had this little thing on their phone. And they just click a little something and on the screen of their phone, they'd pass it across this thing at the airport. And it allowed them to get on the airplane, just a little click. The last time I flew Delta, were you with me, Rita? It was in Atlanta. And they were doing now facial recognition on their computers. Didn't they do that to you the last time? The last time you went with me, and they did it one more time, and they've never done it again. But when you would come up, they didn't want your paper ticket anymore. They didn't want your passport. They didn't want anything. And I was going overseas. They said, just here, click. They took my picture. All right, move on. That was it. Man is coming to things that man has never, ever developed. This is the best of man, brethren. But God is going to confound this whole network, this whole system. Amen. Man, let me take you to a couple of verses. Chapter 14, verse 9. Amen. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Brother Daniel, there's your separation. You're going to have one or you're going to have the other. You can't stand halfway and say, well, I don't know. I'm not ready to decide yet. You have it. You're going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. It's not going to be diluted at all into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. In other words, it's either heaven or hell, one way or the other. The separation, sheep from goats, heaven or hell. Let me just read on down a little bit. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, amen, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Brethren, we're going to have endurance. Endurance. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Here is the patience, the steadfastness of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. See, there's people going to be dying in the Lord also, not in his wrath, but of that great saber sword of the enemy. Amen. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Brethren, you need to go back and read things like Martyr's Mirror again. When the Roman Catholics sent their town authorities after them because they would not submit to having their children baptized, because they would not submit to coming to confession, it was mainly, these were some of the main issues that they would not bow and call to Mary. They had to pay the price, and they were burned at the stake. They were beheaded. They were tortured. They were drowned. Drowning was actually a merciful, quick way to do it. They would do that for the women because they thought, well, we'll be merciful to the women. Amen. We're going to have to make a decision here, brethren. And you know what? I'm talking mainly about the outer court being trampled underfoot. But I'm calling to you to be sons of God, where if they try to harm you, they will be harmed. Amen? You see, which woman's house do you want to be a part of? Hallelujah. So let me look at chapter 16, also verse 2. Verse 1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple, the house of God, amen, saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon earth, the carnal realm. Amen, those who are not living in heavenly places. And he went out and he poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshiped his image. Worship. Elijah was troubled. And somehow, after Jezebel threatened him, he ran and he fled. And he got into the cave. And the Lord finally said to Elijah, I have 7,000. Now that might not be a natural number. 7,000. It's a number of fullness. I have my full measure in Israel, who have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed him. You see, there's two things in the worship. The one is the bowing of the knee. The bowing of the knee is submission. You knuckle under. Maybe you don't like it, but you're going to knuckle under. But the kissing says, not only are you bowing, but you're giving loving obeisance to the thing. There will be people who will staunchly defend this thing as rabidly as they defend their political views today, as rabidly as they hated Trump, as rabidly as these groups of I want to call them mercenaries, not mercenaries. I said the word last week. The word is in the Constitution. What is the word? Patriots. Yeah, they say they're patriots. They have their groups. You know what I mean. These people are rabidly ready to defend their beliefs with guns and what have you. They're oh my. Yeah, well, they're zealots, but it's the Second Amendment that they have the right to bear arms and militia. Militia is the word I'm looking for. There are hidden militias all over America. Oh, no, they're not just out in Idaho and Montana and hidden out. They're in New York. They're all over. Hidden agendas. These groups, you know what? They're going to have to come to an agreement to bow the knee and worship and kiss this image. I think I've said enough. You know what the true seal of God is. Amen. The angel held back to pour out these things until the servants of God were sealed. Sealed is different than marked. It has a different meaning. The mark is an imprint. The seal is something that's done in the heart, in the inner being. I could read you several verses about the seal. Look at Revelation chapter look at chapter 7, I think it is. Just to put these few verses down here a bit before. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. See, earth, sea, and tree. Amen. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth, saying, hurt not the earth. This is earth that's going to get it now. Neither the sea also, nor the trees, some of the trees, amen, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. God is in the process right now of sealing us, amen, in our forehead. In chapter 3, verse 12, here's where the church of Philadelphia, he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven of God, and I will write upon him my new name. See, this is not a natural seal. Just go quickly one more place here to chapter 22. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Amen. I think we can bring this to a close here today. Amen. Hallelujah. You have something to share? You want it on the recording? You're free to speak up before I turn it off. Amen. Turn that one off. Turn this one off.